Episode 1488, When Enough is Enough.
Moms, it's time to rediscover, rejuvenate, and renew who you are in mind, body, and spirit. Welcome to Create Your Now, Your Best Selfie, the show to help you do just that. Here's your host, certified life coach, personal trainer, and nutritionist, Christiane Wargo. Staring at a stop
sign, watching people drive. Happy day. It is Wellness Wednesday, and are you ready to get your optimal health on? Take a deep breath. When enough is enough. For those of you who are brand new to Create You Now, welcome to this incredible family. I'm so delighted of your presence. If you already had the opportunity, you want to head on over to createyournow.com where you can learn more and to sign up for the Kisses newsletter, the Keep It Simple Strategy Everyday Solutions to Live, Love, and Impact. This episode is brought to you by the AIM Academy. You want to make sure you are tuned in here at the podcast and also on the newsletter as announcements are forthcoming. Yes, excitement around the corner. So when you think about your health, what do you think about? Do you just get all caught up in all the to-dos? The list of just trying to be healthy now is more than overwhelming. Nothing is more disheartening when you feel like you've lost the battle for optimal health. When enough is enough, there's still hope. You can win the battle of optimal health with simple changes. And those simple changes may actually surprise you. However, there's a warning to this information. You may be asked to do things you really don't want to change. If that's the case, understand that you are choosing to stay where you are. And that's okay. We have to understand that maybe we pick and choose as to what we want within our lifestyle. That is your choice. And there is no judgment here for that because it's your body, it's your life. But don't keep revisiting your frustration with your health if you're not willing to put in the work that will impact your life forever. So, for example, it drives me absolutely crazy when people say, oh, I just want to feel better. I want more energy. And we talk about solutions and strategies, and then they're not willing to do it. And every day thereafter or every week, it's like, gosh, I just don't understand why I can't feel better. Why I'm not, you know, more energized in my work day. I don't get it. Well, don't keep revisiting that frustration if you're not willing to put in the work. All right. With that disclaimer, let's talk about one area we all can work on. And that includes me, sleep, S-L-E-E-P. I know you don't want to hear it, but according to the data from the National Health Interview Survey, approximately 35% of U.S. adults, that means possibly you and me, sleep fewer than 6 hours, definitely me, a night. And a growing body of evidence has linked reduced sleep duration and quality with a shockingly wide range of health problems. That 35%, they're saying there's issues there with your health. Do you fall into that category? If not, celebrate it. Say yes. And listen to this episode for someone else that you love that you can pass on this information because you already got it nailed. But not all of us have it nailed. And I think it's important that if you want optimal health, it must include sleep. So it's time to sleep like a pro. That is your KISS, the Keep It Simple Strategy. Sleep like a pro, P-R-O. You have to prioritize, you have to regulate, and you have to optimize. Now, we're going to break this down. But if you think about sleeping like a pro, it makes things a lot easier to digest, as in the information that you're going to be given. Now, some of this, yes, is common sense, but unfortunately, it's not in common practice. And that's the key here. We want to take the information that we learn and put it into common practice. Now, some of this stuff I've got down pat, and others I'm still working on. So for me, sleep is a work in progress. I'm being honest with you. There are times that I don't go to bed till 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning, and I'm up at 5, 5:30. That's way less than 6 hours. So I'm probably like in the percentage of you're not doing well with your health. And I know my body feels it. I know my cortisol levels go up. And so sometimes on those nights that are longer nights and I still get up early in the morning sometimes, then I have to make time for a nap, a power nap during the day, something to where I'm really paying attention to my body. However, understand that we don't always have that convenience of being able to say, okay, I'm just going to sit down for a minute and take a nap. And life gets crazy sometimes. We don't get enough sleep. In those seasons, though, I want to give you a forewarning. Do not beat yourself up when you're not getting enough sleep. That can be as detrimental to your health and well-being as is putting sleep into practice and actually doing what you need to be doing. So beating yourself up can be as bad as not getting enough sleep. Understand that balance there. So again, you're going to focus on sleep like a pro. Number one, prioritize. Aim for 8 hours of sleep to start. The recommendation is 7 to 9 hours. Now, I've got to tell you, each body is different. You may be one who, if you get 6.5 hours, you're like spot on. And if you go over 7 or 7.5, you're like, oh my gosh, I just feel more tired. Pay attention to your body. You have to experiment with what works for you, but aim for those 8 hours and then you can give or take from there. Also, another thing you need to remember, you got to go to bed earlier as most people usually, well, we have less control over when we wake up. And that's important to understand. If you have a time in the morning that you have to get up, you have to use an alarm clock, then it's important then to work backwards from that alarm clock going off. Because the only thing that you can change is not that alarm clock, right? It's when you go to bed. That's the key there. Also, you need to prioritize movement. People say, oh my gosh, I just am like overly tired, but then I can't fall asleep and my mind is racing. It really helps to get movement in at some point in your day. Now, for me, I prefer in the morning. Have I done it in the afternoon and evening? Yes. But in the evening, honestly, for me, I'm too tired. And when I'm working out, it actually stimulates my body more. So I'm more awake with even more energy. So why would I do that before I go to bed? So you have to be alert to your body, aware of what your body is telling you. So get in that physical activity, move your body, intentional movement. It helps you. And also limit your quote unquote sit time. We're sitting way too much. Get off your you know what and get moving. If that means that you're going to be sitting for 45 minutes to 50 minutes, then get up and move for 10 minutes. If you're sitting longer, like 1, 2, 3 hours at a time on a regular basis. Now, if you go to a conference, even conferences have breaks. Why? To get you awake, to move your body, because we kind of get, okay, they're still talking and you get drowsy. But if your everyday job is literally 2 to 3 hours of sitting, and then you kind of take a break, and then it's another 2 or 3 hours of sitting, you need to break that up because that is not good for your body. Okay, it's not good for your bum, it's not good for your mental well-being, and it's definitely not good for your physical well-being. So get moving. So that really, when you think about it, sleep you have to prioritize. Again, it's a choice. We all make choices. So you get to choose to make a change in your life when it comes to optimal health, and that is right here, right now, prioritize your sleep. Number two, regulate. Regulate. Reduce the exposure of artificial light at night. And you know what I'm going to say on this, don't you? Yes. Don't worry about your Facebook and Instagram stories. Put your electronics away. Oddly enough, 3 hours before bedtime would be great. Now, I've heard as short of a period as 1 hour. Again, experiment what works for you. If you're one who says, oh, I can put it away in 30 minutes, I am out and I sleep sound as a rock. Great. That works for you. But if you're one who you've got all that light and the next thing you know, you're just laying in bed and then you kind of doze off, but it's not dozing off to go into your deep sleep, which is then going to lead into your REM sleep because that's ultimately where you want to go, then you may need to look at reducing the exposure to the artificial light earlier. Okay, again, experiment. I know this is not the answer that you necessarily wanted, but each body is different. Each mind is different on how we react to things, how we grew up, our habits. And yes, our habits can change, right? But sometimes our habits are ingrained in us, our physiological habits. And so we have to figure out what fits within those habits that have been created over time. Also, dim or cover up your electronics in your room. If you have a TV in your bedroom, okay, I'm not going to be all Oprah on you because Oprah's like, no TV in the bedroom. I'm honest right now. I have a TV in my bedroom. Why? Because my husband wants a TV in our bedroom. And that's what we do. Does it work for us? It works for us. Okay. So I'm not going to sit here and tell you not to have a TV, but I am going to tell you that anything that emits light, I have a mirror in my bathroom. And when I'm charging that mirror, because it can be plugged in or it doesn't have to be. Okay. And I can use it either way. But when it needs to be charged, there's this light that lights up. That's really annoying because it's like a nightlight coming out of the bathroom. Now, it's not real bright, but it's still emitting light. And that can be distracting to me when I go to sleep. So in times like that, I either remember to unplug it and just charge it, start charging the light later on the next morning, or I close the doors. So just really be aware. Also, your alarm clock. I know you may use your phone as your alarm clock, and that's fine, but I would recommend that not having your phone right next to it. So if you have a notification that goes off and the light comes on, it doesn't distract you and your eyes are like, oh, wait, is that sunlight? Is my mind telling me it's time to rise and shine? Because what's happening is it's messing up your circadian rhythm. Okay. And that's not what you want to have. So cover up those. Get an alarm clock where you can actually dim it. We have one that we can dim it to black and then we shoot the time up to the ceiling. It's really cool. And it's just kind of faded out red. So it's not a blue light. It's a red light and it goes on the ceiling. So it's actually very, very dark. We also have in our bedroom blackout curtains. Love, 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 love. Did I tell you I love blackout curtains? They are the best. And my husband actually is the one who started us on that because when he was going to school way, way, way long time ago, he would come off of working 24, 36 hours at a time and it would be daylight. And for him to get sleep, we had to create an atmosphere of darkness. So it was very important to us to have blackout curtains. So even though we've moved a ton of times, I've always had blackout curtains in our bedroom. That's one thing that I don't give up and I will spend the extra money on. And if you're like, well, where do I get those? You can look. They actually say blackout curtains and they're totally different because they black out literally the light. And so it gives you a very, very dark room. Also, if you live in a hotter climate, it's great for in the hotter springs and summers into fall even, you can close those and it will help reduce the amount of heat that's coming into your room. Okay, are you exhausted yet? It's all about regulation. So we've got to watch out that exposure of artificial light. Also, you can use a mask. Now, I got to tell you, I've never tried a mask. I think that would be a little annoying for me. But for you, it might work. So if you've tried everything else and you're like, I'm still not getting enough sleep, then get a little mask. You can buy them very inexpensively. You don't have to break the bank. There are some that have like these cooling features. Not, no, just get something basic. See if it works. Then maybe find one if you want to spend a little more money. But you don't have to break the bank at the very beginning. Also, when it comes to the regulation of light, you want to increase your exposure to natural light during the day. So as much as I love blackout curtains, and they're great for if you want to sleep in or if you work the night shift, and you're coming home for the day and you've got to create that, then it's important that you get natural light whenever you're awake. So if your awake time is during night, then expose yourself to natural light. You can use a light machine that emits like 10,000 lux of light and you can sit in front of it for 15 to 20 minutes. That will help you. That's great for you if you work the night shift. It will help you on your circadian rhythm. Now, if you're one who says, well, I don't work at night. I have a normal, more normal schedule where I go to work during the day and then I sleep at night. Well, then make sure that you are getting that natural light. So, for example, when you get up in the morning, if it's a pretty day out and it's not rainy or it's not freezing, then go outside and drink your coffee or tea or your lemon water, whatever you wake up with. Allow that fresh sunlight to come in or just open up your windows. You can always close them again where you're going to get dressed. But at the beginning, let that sunlight come in and you let your body understand it's time to get up, rise and shine. It wakes your cells up. It does incredible things. Also, take your lunch outside. Walk 20 to 30 minutes on your lunch break. And if you don't have 20 to 30 minutes, then take 10 minutes. Whatever it is, take some time to be out in the sunshine. That natural light is very important. And a lot of us are what? We're working in the same place in confined areas and we're not getting outside. So number one, there's a couple factors here. We're not getting our vitamin D. Okay. And we're not going to go into how important vitamin D is into our body, but you cannot make vitamin D. Your body doesn't make it. You have to give it to it. So you have to either get it by a source, which is the sun, or you have to take it via a supplement. So the best way, get outside. Okay. Get outside and enjoy that natural light during the day. Also, one thing I know you don't really think about that can affect your sleep and what you really want to regulate is your nervous system when it comes to managing your stress levels. If you've had a really hard day, it's tough sometimes. And we take that stress with us to bed. And it's not just because, like for me, I gave you the example that I stay up till 1 or 2 o'clock sometimes. I don't do that every single week, but there sometimes are a couple nights that for whatever reason, I get in that pattern. It lasts for a few days and then I'm out of that pattern and I'm fine. I may go weeks without it and then I'm back in the pattern again. It just depends on what is going on in my life at that time, what my to-do list looks like, how I'm scheduling my day, etc. But one thing that really does impact my sleep is stress. And if I'm highly stressed throughout the day, going to bed at night is hard. Why? Because my mind is, it's on fire. I can't slow it down. I also have this anger or frustration built up within me. So that energy release, I didn't get it. And so I'm a little more restless and I don't get that sound sleep and I don't go deep into REM. So it's really important to regulate your nervous system. Manage your stress levels. You can do this a couple ways, right? Meditation, yoga, breathing exercises. You can work out in the evening. Maybe for you, it's better to work out in the evening or go for a walk. I cannot tell you enough how awesome a simple walk will do for your body. You've heard me say it multiple times, but I'm telling you again, walking does the body good. And so if you're one who's saying, I don't know what to do, then go for a walk. I don't know what to do, go for a walk. I don't know what to do, go for a walk. It will help with your regulation. So we've got prioritize, regulate, and finally, number 3O for optimize. You've got to optimize some things so you can help have an incredible night's sleep. And one of those is nutrition. Yes. Can you believe how all of this is intertwined? Notice we haven't not covered anything. I know, a double negative again. But it's important to understand how movement, how nutrition, how our mindset, how our stress, sleep patterns now, how it all correlates. That's why we're so intricate when it comes to us being a being, a human being. We're incredible. We're miraculous. And when you think about your body like this, you've got to understand that you've got to take care of your body and you've got to treat it with respect. So you've got to optimize that nutrition. And you may want to try different things when it comes to nutrition. Some people cannot go to bed if they are at all hungry. If their tummy's growling a little bit or they just feel like, I've got to have something. If that's you, then have a snack before going to bed. About 200 to 250 calories is a good area, but you want it to be healthy. So think of something like an apple and nuts or apple and nut butter, something good and healthy and well-rounded. Almonds would be great. You could do almond butter and apple or peanut butter and apple. Something that works for you that's has a little fat in it. Why? Because fat gives you that full factor, right? You're satiated longer. And so therefore, when you wake up in the middle of the night, it's not like, oh, why am I awake? I don't have to go to the bathroom, but I'm awake. Why am I awake? I don't have any thoughts in my head. Why am I awake? Maybe your body's saying, you haven't fed me in 8.5 hours, and I know you're going to sleep for another 30 minutes, but I want you to get up now because I'm hungry. So if you have something before you go to bed that has some fat in it, that will help your body understand that it's full, it's okay, don't wake me up, you're good, you'll make it till I have breakfast, okay? Now that's something you're going to have to experiment with. For me, I can't eat necessarily and have a snack. Why? Because it goes directly to the hips. Not good for my body, but that's me. And so if I do eat late at night, I have to be very, very cautious as to what I do. Now, ultimately, if I'm going to eat, and this has happened, especially when I'm traveling, I'll travel, and if I'm flying or if I'm driving and I really didn't want to stop and get dinner or whatever on the way, if I'm eating late, eggs do my body best. And if you're one who likes eggs, I would encourage you to try and utilize eggs. You can scramble them, you can fry them up, you can eat them as just a hard-boiled egg. Some people go raw, but I'm not saying to recommend that, but I know people who do, and that's how they love it. But we're going to save that for another episode. So whatever way you want to eat your eggs, that's another great way to have something. Why? Because an egg is perfectly well-rounded when it comes to what you need with carbs and fat and protein. It's perfect. And you don't have to think about it and you don't have to overthink, right? Because then you're like, oh, great, now my stress level's going up because I'm thinking about what I'm supposed to eat before I go to bed, yet I'm supposed to regulate my whole sleep pattern. And now I'm stressed out because I know I'm going to be hungry. Okay, breathe. It's all going to be okay. It doesn't have to be difficult. So go to your old-fashioned simple, you can do an egg. Or do, like I said, an apple and some nuts. Almonds are great. Or a butter, like a peanut butter, a nutty butter. I would not recommend going with some of those tasty, sweeter ones that are out there. Yes, like Nutella. I would not recommend that. That's for another episode. But you've got to make sure that you're not intaking too much sugar. Also, the sugars are what? Carbohydrates. And when you are taking in sugar, you want to make sure you know the source that it's coming from. An apple, a great source for it to come. But you're also pairing it with what? Protein. So there you have balance. Okay, so optimize that nutrition. Also, if you're one who says, I don't know, maybe for me, I just can't have that sugar. You could also look at a ketogenic diet. Now, we're not going to talk the specifics here because we could be here for like 4 or 5 hours talking about the ketogenic diet. We will go into that later, and that's something that you will also enjoy about the AIM Academy and some courses that are up and coming. But here, if you're looking at saying, I kind of do well with not having sugar and I keep to a low carb, then great, do that. If you're one who says, I have no idea if that's going to work, then just think of it this way. I'm going to reduce my amount of sugar before bedtime. So it's just like your light, you know, 2 to 3 hours before. Don't have sugar 2 to 3 hours before you go to bed. Allow that to go through your body. And if you're going to have any form of sugar, do, like I said, an apple and a nut butter. Okay, also, ditch the stimulants. Get rid of the caffeine. I would encourage you, honestly, if you can, not just to reduce them, but to ditch them all in all. Now, I've got to admit, I'm going to tattletale on my wonderful husband. His hang-up, and it's a great hang-up. I mean, it could be a lot worse, but his only hang-up, his only vice is his Pepsi. I'm sorry, Coke drinkers out there, if you like Coke, but it's all Pepsi for him. He's like, honey, you can tell me to do whatever you want, but you cannot take away my Pepsi. And I just look at him and I smile and I'm like, okay, that's just a vice I have to work with. Do I like it? Not really. He knows I don't like that he does it, but he's gotten much better. I mean, at one point, I mean, literally his Pepsi was like his major liquid of the day. And I was like, honey, you can't do that. You've got to get in some water. Let's at least get half and half going here. Anyway, what I'm telling you is that you got to ditch those stimulants. If you can't, then definitely reduce them from the time before you go to bed. So again, think of that 1, 2, 3 hour window prior to going to bed. You don't want to have all that extra stuff. And also, if you're like, but I drink tea, make sure, look at your tea. Does it have caffeine and how much does it contain? Some teas may not bother you because of the type of tea that they are, but other tea may. So you have to figure out what works for your body. And also, finally, I know we're still optimized. Stick with me here. You got to sleep like a pro. You need to create an environment conducive to sleep. You don't think going to an amusement park would be conducive to sleep, right? No. It's loud, it's obnoxious, it's noisy, yelling kids, screaming, whatever. Sometimes, though, our bedroom can be just that. It can be an amusement park. You got the kids coming in and out, yelling and screaming. You and your spouse are having a heated discussion. It can become an amusement park and maybe not so amusing, but it's loud and it's distracting and it doesn't help settle your body down. So use your bedroom for sleep and yes, full on intimacy. Yes, that's really what you want to do in your bedroom. Now, can it have some family snuggle times? Of course, we do that in ours. But if you make that a regular thing, make sure you do it enough time prior to when you need to start settling down. So if you need to start settling down at 9 o'clock, don't have your snuggle time with your children start at 9 o'clock. Snuggle time may need to start at 7 o'clock in your bedroom if you're going to do that. So it gives you time to slow it down, get your bedroom where it needs to be, get your mind where you need to be so you can calm down and finally go to sleep. Also, avoid working in your bedroom if at all possible. Yeah, I know it's easy. I do it too. I'll bring in my, laptop or I'll have my phone with me and all of a sudden I find myself replying to emails here and there. That's not really good if we're always doing that in our bedroom. Why? Because we can't leave our work behind. And that's a challenge. As an entrepreneur, it's very challenging when you own your own business and you work from home to say, okay, this is not the space that I'm going to work in, or this is not the place during this time that I'm going to work in or not work in. So set those boundaries for yourself. Also, avoid using electronic media in your bedroom. Now, I know I already admitted I have a TV in my bedroom, but we're very cautious and conscious about how we use that TV. Again, though, what works for you? That's what's key. A lot of people will tell you don't bring your phone into your bedroom, but I'm going to be real with you. My phone's in my bedroom. Why? Because that's the way my children are going to communicate with me. I'll have my daughter who will text me at 11:42 at night. Will I reply to that text? Maybe not, but if I'm awake, I want to know that that text was sent. And especially if they're traveling or they're doing something, I want to have that because I have it set that where even if I have it silenced, if my children call into me, I have a certain list of people, if they call into me, it will break through and come directly to me regardless of what it is. So yeah, my phone is in my bedroom. I'm just being real and honest with you. So I'm not telling you not to. Again, look at what works for you. Also, the temperature of your bedroom. The colder it is, the better. A lot of people like 64 to 65 degrees. And some people are like, whoa, that's cold. Just turn down the heat at night. A couple hours before bedtime. Turn it down so it doesn't come on. Add another layer of blanket to the children. Also, regarding blankets, and we won't go into great detail here, but there are weighted blankets. And some people find that weighted blankets, yes, they're 15 and 25 pounds, up to 25 pounds, I think. It varies by blanket. But it actually is a weighted blanket that it lays on you. Okay, you're going to sleep, so it's a blanket. It comes over the top of you. And that weight just allows you to kind of sink into your bed and it calms you. There are some people who absolutely love them and swear by them. Maybe you would like something like that. I don't know, but that's something to think about. We're not going to go into a lot of details about it now, but that's just something also that you can use besides temperature, right? You want to make your bed as comfortable as possible. Use sheets that feel cozy and warm or cooling when you get into the summer times, okay? And avoid those dreaded conversations. You do not want to go to bed on an angry note. So when it's 9:59, it's probably not a good idea to say, oh, honey, what did you think about the bank account? I need to deposit this check and not sure where I need to put it. And, we need to pull out some money because we only have like $200 left in the checking account. And I'm concerned that we're going to withdraw because I paid these two bills. What do you think? It's probably not a good idea to have those discussions then. Save them till morning. Or have them earlier in the afternoon, right when, after the kind of downtime, the chill time after coming home from work and you get that just decompression time, then you can have some of those conversations or save them for the weekend if it's not very pressing. But if you're going to get emotionally upset or you're having an emotionally upsetting activity, if your kids are having a hard time in school, that's not really a great time to scold them either. So think about that process. And I know as parents, we want to do what's great for our children, and we definitely want to do what's great for ourselves. But unfortunately, a lot of these conversations happen before we go to bed. And then what happens? Our brain is stewing over the conversation. You may not consciously be thinking about it, but subconsciously, you're like, oh, I'm upset. And it's going, and it can't settle down. Your body has got to settle down, and you want it to settle in so it can what? Restore, rejuvenate, and cleanse itself. It's that detoxification time. And it all happens during sleep. Sleep is so important. Also, if you're one who says, I just have got to have nothing but silence, then you can use earplugs or an app to help, you know, block out the noise. So you can use a white noise app. There are so many things out there that will help you sleep like a pro. But first, you have to make it what? A priority in your life. And I know for me, for many years, it was not a priority. I literally got 4 hours or less of sleep every single night. And that just wasn't because I had a new baby. Many years, yes, that was because of it. Because remember, I was nursing her pregnant for 10 years. But it went beyond that. Because it became what? A habit. And so for me to work at really making sleep a priority, I've had to work at it. And it's also something that my husband wants me to be very diligent at. He wants me to go to bed when he goes to bed. He doesn't like it when I'm still up doing a lot of things. Women, I'm telling you, if that's your spouse and that is something that's special to them, even if you're not doing anything but reading in bed before you go to sleep, then that's a good indication of maybe I need to start switching some things up. So again, it doesn't always come as natural as you think it should when it comes to sleep. I get it. And for us to even have to sit here and have this conversation, but we need to, because without sleep, you are not going to survive. You won't. And you definitely will not thrive. Because if you want optimal health, you've got to have sleep. Now, if you're one who's saying, okay, sleep's just not the only thing that's messed up. I mean, I'm messed up in sleep, but I've got some other areas too regarding my health. If you're saying I need some help with this, I would love to come beside you. I have a free gift for you. It's a coaching call with me. All you have to do is click on the link, Take Aim, in the show notes. That will begin our conversation. We can have a conversation in regards to your health, and you can learn strategies to put into effect right now to change your life and impact it drastically. So take time to figure out what works for you, and then partner with your spouse to understand what they need too. So take care of you, then do it as a partnership between you and your spouse, and then also consider it for your children. What do they need? And that's one thing that I feel very, very good about as a mom, is that I have helped my children figure out their sleep patterns, what they need. Have I done it right all the time, every time? No. But all five of them know how much sleep they need, when they're best. Do they work best at night versus in the morning? Is it better for them to get up early and do studying versus staying up late? They have figured out their patterns and what works for them. And so it starts with you. Partner with your spouse, and then take it to your family. Time spent on creating good sleep patterns will lead you to many nights of greatness. When enough is enough, sleep like a pro. I love you so very much. I cannot wait to see you on the other side. Blessings, hugs, and lots of love. We'll talk to you real soon. Have a blessed day. Bye-bye.
Feeling inspired, ready to train for life, and love your journey? Visit createyournow.com for more incredible resources to help you along the way. We'll see you next time on Create Your Now, Your Best Selfie. And remember, always be sure you consult your physician before beginning any health and fitness plan.